The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 21 in our Revelation series. This message is called The False Prophet. We will be reading Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 to 15. This is what we read. Revelation 13, 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. Three different places in the book of Revelation identify this second beast as the false prophet. We read about that in Revelation 16, 13, Revelation 19, verse 20, and Revelation 20, verse 10. This is what we read in Revelation 19, 20. It says, "But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image." In this portion of Scripture, it is talking about the second coming of the Lord. And when the Lord returns, he will destroy Apollyon, the beast, the Antichrist, and this second beast. And here it says that with the first beast is the false prophet. That is his name. Like Apollyon, this false prophet or second beast is a fallen angel of the spirit world. The scripture says he has two horns like that of a lamb. And the horns represent spirit generals, demon commanders who are under his authority. He is like a lamb because he wants to appear gentle and innocent, people-friendly. But the false prophet speaks like a dragon because he carries the words of the devil. He is the devil's puppet and the ruling spirit of witchcraft in the world. And he will be given supernatural power to deceive the world on behalf of the beast during the second half of the Great Tribulation. The false prophet is not the prominent beast of the two because most secular people in the modern world are not religious. They demand what they call separation of church and state, for example. Their gods are money and pleasure. So humanism is the main theme that the devil will use to capture most people at the end of the age. That spirit of equality, that spirit that is called the spirit of lawlessness, that spirit that causes man to worship himself, that says education is everything, and through education we will evolve to be like God. That is the image of the beast that is typified by the number 666. That's the first beast. The false prophet, however, will play an important role with his witchcraft. He will be like the backup for the first beast. He and his team will have the job of creating and perpetuating occult activity on the earth. He will exercise all the authority of the first beast, weaving his witchcraft into every culture and system on the planet. This has happened since the beginning of time, but technology in this modern age has given rise to the proliferation of spiritism on a much broader scale. The New Age movement was a term that became popular in the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s. And that is probably the best way to describe the umbrella of the kind of activity that the false prophet represents. If we think of the first beast as being the spirit of humanism, this second beast or false prophet is the spirit of the New Age movement. The New Age movement, therefore, is an umbrella term. It describes all the spiritual activity that does not come from the God of the Bible. It became popular in Western society after the Beatles went to India in the 60s. They were going there in search of spirituality. And they went and investigated the religion of Hinduism. And they brought it back with them into the Western world. Since then, Hinduism has been adapted to the Western culture. At first, it was not user-friendly, and many people were spooked by it. But now, since the terminology has changed and the application has changed, things like yoga and meditation and all the different forms of New Age Hinduism are everywhere in our Western culture. It's changed its terminology and become seeker-friendly. Witchcraft is now educational. It's now fun. It comes in friendly forms, and it's popular in all the systems and in all the nations of the world. The Ten Commandments and the Bible, however, forbid the worship of any spiritual entity except God himself. Whenever man looks for spiritual help or spiritual pleasure from any source other than God, he seeks help from an evil spirit or a demon. He might not realize that he is looking for help from a demon, but if he goes to any other spiritual source except the living God, he will inadvertently be contacting an evil spirit. Evil spirits hide behind 1,000 different faces, but they're all part of this New Age movement. People's fascination and involvement with witchcraft is the number one reason for curses and demonic strongholds in the lives of people in the nations of the world today. The New Age movement is massive, and all of its activities and branches cannot be listed in one talk. But let me give you some of the different approaches or faces that the New Age movement and witchcraft disguise themselves in. Witchcraft has been popularized and been made society friendly through movies and TV shows, such as seemingly innocent shows like Bewitched or Charmed or Buffy or Harry Potter or even Star Wars, where the Jedi Knights say things like, "The Force be with you." And there's examples of levitation and supernatural powers. All of those things are a lead-in to occult activity and witchcraft. Hundreds of horror movies involve the occult. The Bible says, be careful. Watch out what you bring into your home, lest you become like unto it. I am convinced that many people become demonized because of the horror movies that they watch. At first, it may be suspenseful. It may be intriguing. It is full of drama and gets the adrenaline rushing. And people do it for a quick fix of entertainment. But little do they know that they open the door at times and allow demons into their homes. After watching horror movies, people can't sleep. There's something that happens in their lives, and they don't attach it to those horror movies. But I recommend to you that if you have horror movies in your home that involve wicked and evil and satanic and witchcraft, occult kind of things, remove those movies from your home. Certainly do not let your children watch them. And you should have a standard that you will no longer watch those things. The witchcraft and the New Age movement doesn't stop with the television or the movie screen. Many magicians, rock groups, gay pride parades, and celebrities promote spiritism. There's pagan rituals. And more, even more obvious forms of witchcraft are here in the Western world, such as America. There are things like Satan worship itself. There are even churches that worship Satan today. On top of all this, there's fortune telling, horoscope reading. Many people read horoscopes and think it is an innocent thing. But the scripture says that we are forbidden to be involved with monthly prognostications, which is the reading of horoscopes. Going to a seance or looking at crystal balls, pyramid power, Mother Earth worship, all of those are forms of modern day witchcraft. Transcendental meditation, mind reading, reincarnation, spiritual yoga, hypnotism, hallucinatory drugs, astral projection, and spirit guides all have their deception in the New Age movement. Even some traditional religions and some secret societies that inspire newcomers with good works of community service will draw their members ever so gradually into forms of witchcraft, satanic ritual, and eventual demon worship. God forbids all of these things that I have mentioned. It has not been an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a list big enough for you to see that our society is full of witchcraft, and it all comes under this umbrella of the New Age movement. The biggest lure to witchcraft, I think today, especially for the young people, is the video games and the black magic and the supernatural arts involved. Miraculous signs and wonders that are seen on special shows like Chris Angel, where he does something that wows the audience. It seems to be so interesting. I'm convinced that some of it is just trick photography. But there is also sleight of hand and just illusion. However, when these things pass over into the paranormal and the supernatural, that will involve witchcraft for sure. I don't know if Chris Angel himself is involved in those kind of things or if he is just putting on a show, but he is treading to the very edge of a dangerous cliff. On the other side, the devil is waiting. And if he himself is not involved in witchcraft, his followers will soon be involved in a powerful black magic that will cover the earth. Miracles will seemingly authenticate the false prophet when he comes. They will legitimize his message. He will have an amazing charismatic appeal, just like Chris Angel does. He will inspire the world to worship humanism, equality for all. It will look innocent, but he will come as an angel of light. People will love him because he will perform amazing acts of magic and because he will speak of equality for all, the wisdom of humanism. It will be a perfect match. Now, the false prophet, I will call the ruling spirit of the New Age movement. The New Age movement will be the religious force behind humanism in the second half of the Great Tribulation. Humanism and the New Age movement will team up during the latter half of the tribulation. Humankind worshiping humankind, that's humanism, and reveling in witchcraft, the New Age movement. At the same time, it might seem to be a contradiction, but it is just the formula that Satan will concoct to control the world. Humanism will draw the materialistic scientific type, and the New Age occult movement will draw the more intuitive spiritual type. So whether you are the academic or whether you are a touchy-feely spiritual type, this design that comes from the pits of hell will be there to catch every person in their net. Everyone on the planet, the Bible says, who does not have God's worldview will become part of this new world order. Already, right now, as you're hearing this message, these two spiritual entities are running it through the nations of this world like a runaway train. And they're taking out anyone who's in their path and calling the bystanders to get on the train. And the generations of the world are quickly getting onto this train. It seems like every program, every game, every movie has humanism and spirituality mixed together. And the world is being caught up in it. Their main doctrine is evolution. The evolution that says that man is evolving and one day he will become like God. I remember a visit that I had to somebody's home just a year ago or so. I didn't know, but they had also invited another family to dinner that night. And when we all sat down, I discovered that the family that was there was a Mormon family. And we got into a discussion about God. And I soon discovered that this Mormon man was telling me that God doesn't do supernatural miracles. What he does is not really supernatural. It's just that God is more educated than people are. He has more information, more scientific knowledge. That's why he can manipulate physics and do things that seem to be miracles. I said, absolutely not. God can break the laws of gravity, break the laws of physics, because he is God. He is not a superhuman being. Once you reduce God to being a super well-educated human being with much more knowledge than we have, then you're just one step away of saying that evolution and education and man's own development will take us to be like God. That is the message of humanism. And until that time, I didn't know that it was right in the middle of the Mormon philosophy and theology. I cannot warn you enough about what is happening in the world. It's time, saints, to put some guards up, to put some roadblocks up, to protect your mind and your spirit from the deceiver who is coming with entertainment, who is coming with what seems to be good logic, but he's coming to destroy you and he's coming to destroy your families. It's time to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because in the time of the great tribulation, which is not that far away from now, there will be a special demon who will be a fallen angel. He will be called the false prophet, and he will show supernatural signs and wonders, even calling down fire from heaven to convince the people of the world that he has power and supernatural authority. And everyone who has come and got on the train of humanism and the New Age movement will be no match for the deception that will come from the false prophet at the end of the age. The scripture says that this false prophet ordered the people to set up an image in honor of the first beast, the Antichrist. I'm reading now from Revelation 13, verse 15. It says, he ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. The world will worship not the beast, but his image. What is his image? It's the philosophy of humanism. Already the nations of the world are worshiping humanism. The philosophy of the beast will not just be policy on paper or written laws. Computers and other high-tech devices will be used. We know that they talk. We know that voice can come through the machine in front of you. In the home we are staying in at this time, every time the phone rings, if somebody doesn't pick up the phone, it's not just an answering machine. A voice comes and says, somebody is calling. John, of course, had no high-tech tools that he understood in his day. But if he saw a hologram or a TV screen and heard it speaking, he would certainly think that the image of the Antichrist was given power to move and to speak. We have the technology for these kind of things today. The false prophet is a spirit with supernatural power, however, and he can perform great and miraculous signs. The Bible says he can even cause fire to come down from heaven in full view of everyone. Whether his magic is because of high technology or because of supernatural manifestations of dark powers, it will be persuasive enough to deceive the world. And I believe his acts will indeed be supernatural. We know that this has already happened in the Bible. If we go back to the story of Exodus, where Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, we find that Moses and Aaron performed supernatural acts, but then Pharaoh's magicians and sorcerers also performed supernatural signs and wonders. We read about this in Exodus chapter 7, verse 10 to 13. Let me read it for you. It says, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. So if evil, demonized men 3,000 years ago could perform supernatural signs and wonders through the arts of witchcraft and the work of demons, we certainly need to expect that what happens in the Great Tribulation will be supernatural signs, miracles that happen because of this false prophet. Magicians, psychics, religious gurus will become more and more popular as we reach the Great Tribulation. You will see more of it, and it won't come across like some ghoulish individuals to scare people. They will be friendly, charismatic, very good speakers. They will have good presence on stage and on television, and they will thrill the multitudes and wow the world. And many of their activities will be unexplainable. The false prophet will lift this present magic show to a whole new level with amazing supernatural acts. He will promote humanism around the world. Picture a different kind of fireworks on the 4th of July with supernatural things happening. And the message being equality for all and humanism. The nations will clap. If Disneyland is still in play, there will be people watching the fireworks on the Friday night, and it will be a worship unto the spirit of humanism. And the people who have come to the theme park will clap. One world in peace and humanism will cause the nations to rejoice. The miraculous demonstrations at these events will seal the humanistic agenda and bring the whole world into unity to worship this image of humanism. And the devil will be in the height of his glory at this time. People, the Bible says, will worship the beast because of the power of the false prophet. And because of that, indirectly, they will be worshiping the devil. But let me tell you that revivals are on the way. Something is about to happen. There will be something eating away at the hearts of humanity. As I mentioned in one of the past studies, as we saw the beast come onto the stage, and he killed so many millions of Christians and Jews. And the rest of the people who are believing in humanism and worshiping this humanism, they will have this eating away inside of them. What has happened to the Jews and Christians will not go unnoticed, and it will trouble many people. At this point, the world will have seen the elimination of tyrannical dictators early in the tribulation period, but people replace them with a new dictatorship named democracy. And the one world order that has voted leaders into place will become a tyranny that will rule. It will be a new majority that will control everybody who doesn't agree with them. Conformity to an evil ideology will not last. It never does. No matter how logical or appealing this humanism seems to be, after a while, it will start to fall apart because of the control that the beast will have. And once again, God will reach the deep hidden places in the hearts of humankind. And many who have previously championed the cause of atheism will find the last minute faith in God. In the next study, we will see the amazing anointing that will come upon the people of God at this time in the Great Tribulation period, and how they will turn the world back to God. And then in the study following that, we will look at the greatest revival in all of history. It will be called the harvest of the earth.